Andrew Osakoye Ministries International, reaching the world with the gospel and perfecting the saints with truth. We pray that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
Thank you for the opportunity. Standing before us, the pastor, is an expression of the grace of Brother Higgy, who was taught by Brother Moore, and all of that. So the answers that we get will be those experiences and those graces, and also the spirit of God that is in the presence of God. So ask any question you want to ask.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is really good, sir. There's something that you see somewhere. You can be out of the wheel and succeed.
Yeah.
So when you are out of the wheel and seeing you are succeeding, how do you get the consciousness to? Because many a times, if everything is rosy, you don't want to pay for that fire. It seems as if everything is okay, God is in it, you know?
Yeah.
So if everything is rosy,
yeah,
and maybe that's not the will of God, how do you get consciousness of?
Okay, well, if it's not the will of God, you will start to develop an internal dissatisfaction. In other words, even with all the success, sometimes that success will start to irritate you. You know? But people can be so addicted to it that in spite of that irritation, they stay in it. And that's why you can have ministers who are so miserable, and yet you wonder, why should you be so miserable? You have all this going on for you. Why are you miserable? They'll tell you, if you can talk to them, they'll tell you, listen, I don't know why I'm just feeling like this. You know, I don't even like what I'm doing anymore. There are ministers I know who say, I don't like what I'm doing. I'm just doing it because I have to do it. How do you get to that point? How do you get to that point? You've missed God. At some point, you've moved on or done something, or you are somewhere you shouldn't be doing. And now it's too much load. You're out of God's will, and it's a problem for you. You understand? So that it's important to maintain that internal satisfaction in your life. You go to bed and you're okay. You know, I'm good to go, right? And you're not under pressure to perform, because that's another thing that takes me out of the will of God. Pressure to perform. Amen. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have some pastor's friend. My name is Pastor Peter. And one is the bishop. He approached me because I teach word of faith and he's very happy. That I should come and drink water from his skull.
Sorry?
Woman's skull. That I should come and drink water from a woman's skull.
Try it.
I should come and drink water.
Drink water from a human skull. Why?
Then I say, is that what you did?
Okay.
And where you are? He kept quiet. I avoid him because I know he's occultic and he's dangerous. And most of my pastor friends who went there underground remain underground.
Okay.
I alone survived and I stayed. And he kept pressuring me.
Yeah.
One day he walked by me, saw me in Summit Bible Church, Kubwa. He said, what are you doing here? I said, this is where God led me to. I said, what am I going to do about what he told me? I told him, I'm not interested. And then he looked at me with his bishop and occultic things. He grew angry and he left away. But he keeps sending people to me. I keep avoiding them.
Yeah.
I wanted to report to police, but I don't have sufficient evidence. How do I handle such people, sir?
Drive him away.
Sir?
Drive him away.
He can't.
Why?
He loved to have me around. He said, I have word of faith. He needs me. And I don't need him. Yeah, I don't need him.
There's something that is still attracting him to you. There's something. Either you are not as firm as you should be. There's something that makes him still hang around. I have no such friends. There's a reason. I won't even play with you. I won't. I won't even play with you. I won't talk to you again. I won't. You greet me, I won't answer you. Do you understand? I'll block you finally. That's what you need to do. Be aggressive. You may be sentimental. Maybe he has seen the sentiments, right? But you've reached a point where it is when you block him that he'll be finally convicted. Hey, move on. Don't worry. You have no problem. Just move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just move on. If you love him that much, pray for him. Pray for him. Yeah, pray for him, but you don't go ahead, because for me, right, there's a no-go area, right? There's a no-go area. John even warns us, says, when you meet such people, says, don't even invite him into your house. Can't come into my house, so, with that kind of belief system. Let's call it what it is, right? You know, we think that such people are born again. That's what we think. They're not. You cannot have the nature of God and persist in such an act, drinking from a skull. You are demonic. And they're on their way to hell. You have to call it what it is. Because there's no way, he's not saved. He's not saved. Okay, but Pastor, how do we know? Well, first of all, you are not God, all right? God says he judges the intents of a man's heart. That's God. But he told us what to do. He says, by their fruits. So for me, I cannot see your heart. So as far as I'm concerned, you are a demon. Or like my cousin would say, demon. You are a demon. So I have to avoid what? Demons. Amen. Yes. Yeah. No, honestly, it's really sad that a lot of people are resorting to this kind of thing now. And that's because a lot of people are, it has become a business. That's what it is, it's a business. So people just do it. When I started this church, I was shocked. I went to visit, my mom told me to go and visit one of my uncles from the village, that he and his wife live somewhere in town. They're both dead now, but back then. So I went to visit them, just innocently. So the guy would just say, wow, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He told me that this business, I was talking about this church. He said, this business you're doing now, I did it one time. I did it in Lagos. Me and some guys, we came together and we did this business. But that the guy, that's a pastor, right, ate all the money. So we scattered the church. We scattered the business. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So people, you'll be amazed how people are thinking. For some people, this is just business. Bam, nothing. Nothing, just business. So for them, doing all kinds of things is not a problem. They're not even born again. They're not even saved. But the whole Bible, every Nigerian can sing a Sinatra song or Nathan Abasi. Every Nigerian can, even as some people sing it. Muslims sing it. Hallelujah. So if you're in a plane and there's a problem in the plane, everybody at some point will switch. From whatever else you are praying, at some point they switch to Jesus Christ. And you'll be amazed that they can pray. You will see a man who is a staunch Muslim say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're in Nigeria, we're also a Christianized. Not that people are saved, though. Some people are not saved, but they are Christianized. They know the language. They know the songs. Hallelujah. That's it. So let's not kid ourselves. Some people are not saved. Yeah. I was going to ask a question. Go ahead.
Praise God. I want to say something by the way, then I'll ask a question. Like what you mentioned, these people, this false prophet, they go as far as listening to people like pastor and try to cram their message, you know, so that when they are preaching the word of faith, they do that a lot just to deceive
people.
Yeah, they do that to deceive people. Now, my question is, Pastor, I want to ask this question. Please help us, because there are some people that are outside God's will and they face challenges. When they come back to the will of God, things are smooth. Then there's other people that are in the will of God. And they're also facing some persecution. They're going through some trials, you know. And some of them tend to give up. and you feel, okay, probably I'm not in the will of God. Why would I be facing all of this? So, like, you know, like Paul, he was beaten, he was persecuted, you know, suffered shipwreck and all of that. Some people who don't have the kind of understanding might say, oh, I'm not in the will of God. Why would I be suffering all of this? So, how do we put this balance to know, you know, so that we cannot miss God?
Okay, that's a good question. The thing about it is, even for those people now who you said are in the will of God, they need to reassess several things, all right? Because if you have challenges in the will of God, you will also have grace for those challenges. It's when there's no grace, that's when you have to ask yourself, well, this challenge, the challenge is killing you. The challenge has overwhelmed you. But if it's a challenge, if you are graced for something, the challenge will come, but it will not crush you. You understand? Let me read a scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. When you get to the point where you are overwhelmed in the will of God, per se, right? You need to ask yourself some questions. It may not be that you're outside the will of God in a general sense. It may be you have taken on too much. It may be you've added things to you that you shouldn't have done in the first place. That can be a problem. Because sometimes it's financial pressure, right? There's a way you start to put certain things on yourself. The financial pressure will be too much because it wasn't God who sent you to do that. So you have to be humble enough to know, well, this is not working like this, right? I can't be borrowing money. I can't be begging around for money. I can't become a wicked prophet. If you don't sow that seed, if you don't sow a seed this morning, you will not make it home. If you don't sow your seed, you know, by the time you get to that level, you are no longer in the will of God. You're not. Now you have to force people to give money. You see what I'm saying? You're forcing them. Why? Because you're not getting provision from God. So you have to force a supply. And then you go into all kinds of methods, witchcraft. That should tell you something. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at this. It says, verse 6. For it is a God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the glory of God. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, based on this, he's telling us we are hard-pressed on every side. But it doesn't stop there. It says, yet, not what? Crushed. Why? There's grace. It says, we're perplexed, but not in despair. It says, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but guess what? We rose again. They put us down, we got up again and continued moving. Why? Grace. Can you see what's going on here? So there's something about the grace that enables you to face the challenges even in your calling. Hallelujah. All right.
Sorry, sir. We have an online question.
All right.
Last question that we take. It says, sir, what should one do when you sense you're off or out of place in God's direction, timing, or phase in your life?
All right. What you do when you know, when you sense you're off, that means that you have gone ahead. You've gone away or gone ahead. You understand? At that point, usually, you can no longer follow the Spirit because you have left Him. And the only way He will lead you is back to the place where you missed it. So the only way it's going to lead you is go back to where you missed it from. Get back there and pause there. Pause, right? Where you missed it. So that it can give you new bearings from that place. Hallelujah. So that takes a lot of humility. If you miss it, you have to be ready to humble yourself and say, you know what? I missed it. I need to get back to where I know where I was before I missed it. The last place where I was heading God, where? I need to get back there. So you get back, the Holy Ghost will lead you back there. And then from there, He will give you bearings. And here's the good news. People will say, well, that means I've lost a lot of time. Not necessarily. You have, yes, but God can make up. With a humble heart, God can make up. God can get you to still move quickly and still catch up where you're supposed to be because you've humbled yourself.
I'm a minister with a ministry that doesn't have a good welfare plan for their ministers. But they keep pushing you on church growth. I don't feel joy doing it.
Well, that's a question you have to go and meet your GO. That is outside my scope. You go and meet your GO. Discuss with your GO, man. You guys will sort it out. Praise the Lord. Well, one guy met me some years ago. He met me, was telling me, I was coming from a church in the city here. Great church, you know. He told me, Pastor, I have a problem. I don't like blah, 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 blah. This. Right? And I was wondering, what do you want me to say? Do you understand? You've told me you don't like this about this man, this man, this man, and I want to move forward. And you came to me. So you want to put me inside trouble. You chose me to be the one that will carry the trouble. I said, no, it's not like that at all. Of course, I'm not going to give you. I'm already limited. Amen. If you feel God is speaking to your heart, I actually told him to go back and tell his pastor, right, what God is telling him. I said, go and tell your pastor. I'm not your pastor. You're working for somebody. I'm not your pastor. Go and tell your pastor what God is telling you. Because if I give you an instruction, I'm outside God's will. I'm telling you who works for somebody else what to do. I can't do that. So you go back and meet your pastor and say, Pastor, this is what the Lord has been dealing with me about. Please help me out. Then you sort it out. Amen? So that brother should...
I hope he heard.
Meet your GO.
Question. We'll take... That's all I was saying. When we ask for questions, people do not...
Sorry, the only time I can tell somebody to leave a place, right, is if the place it is clearly demonic. Do you understand? That one, you don't even need too much talk. I mean, you're serving a wizard. Get out of that place. Get out of the shadows of a wizard. You cannot be in the house of a wizard. That's not of God. But the other case is different. This is an authentic ministry. It's just that maybe there are imperfections everywhere. You understand? That's different from you are in a wizard's coven. You don't even need to be told what to do. Just carry your bag, run away. Run quickly. Don't tell anybody you are moving. Just move. In short, leave town for some time. Leave town and go to your village and say that to them so that you collect your mind back.
Just two more questions, please. Two more questions. Can you raise up your hands? Okay. Leo, 1, 2.
All of you didn't put your hand before. Now everybody's put their hand.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Guidance.
Yes.
I wanted to start a radio station partly as a ministry.
Sorry?
I wanted to start a radio station.
Radio, okay. Yeah.
Partly as a ministry.
Yes.
Also a commercial station. Like Mix. Because there's no license for a religious station.
I noticed that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
But I think you can have it. I think you can get a license for inspirational music, something like that.
Yes.
And then you can do your Christian thing, yeah.
So, I had some money for it.
Yeah.
Some time ago. You were talking about time.
Okay.
And I applied for the license in 2016.
Yes.
And they didn't give me the license.
Yeah.
It was last year, October, that they granted the license. And I got the license, got approved, but then this foreign exchange problem came in. And then I cannot start the station. I'm becoming anxious, as you can see my hair. I'm becoming anxious about it, and I'm wondering, you know, Is this God's plan for me? And I'm beginning to question myself whether I should go ahead or not. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. You see, like now, there are many directions, right, based on what you've asked. For instance, you know, you said this is what you've always wanted to do for ministry. I'm assuming that at some point in time you had it in your heart to do something like this. Eventually got a license. But the details are just as important as the main plan. I'll give an example. What if, I'm not saying this is, I'm just giving an example. What if God wants you to partner with some people, right, to run the station? If that's the case, then the next step now is to pray concerning who to partner with. Because you can get the same thing done, right? And then it's your license. So you're always going to have a major, you always have a major role to play in terms of control. But there are people who are looking for a license and have access to funds and have the same Christian agenda that you have, but don't know how to do it. So once you, if that's God's plan and you start praying in that direction, God will start connecting you. Next thing you know, you have people who you can come together and do it successfully. So that's just an idea. My point is, we shouldn't always assume there's only one way. God may have other ways. He's trying to get us to explore. All right?
Praise God. I just wanted to give a comment to the pastor that talked about welfare. I think there's a general, there's a mindset that is wrong when it comes to expectations of welfare, maybe serving as a pastor and all that. I actually look at people like Bishop Abioye of Living Faith Winners, and from their journey and all that, and even when you hear pastors speak, you see that they didn't get to where we are seeing them now, all of a sudden. I see it as where, you know, as pastor serving, you're called to serve the set man, you know, in the will of God according to the blueprint that has been given. And both we that are serving the set man and the set man, we are serving God.
Yes.
So it's expected that our welfare is sorted by God. So there's a need to not look at any human or, you know, as a source to cater for the welfare. So I think it's very important that we work our faith work, our journeys, and see, because he said he has prepared riches, you know, in hidden places, secret places for us. So it's expected that, you know, I believe that every one of us is expected to, you know, trust God for direction on how, you know, your needs are to be met. He said, my God will supply all your needs according to his glory. Paul did not, you know, take it as a responsibility to take care of Timothy's needs. They were all, you know, to look up to God, to follow through his own examples. He talked about himself being a tent maker, for example. So I just want to, you know, encourage that person that asked the question not to be caged in that mindset, to have expectations. I mean, everything that we are giving is for the work of the ministry. So we should not be thinking of ourselves alone, but be thinking of how we can, you know, connect so that we will have abundance for every good work. Praise God.
Yeah, you know, what she said is just basically, you know, fundamental. You know, fundamental. Because the minute you start to depend on a system for your welfare, you have already crossed the line. You can't go too far. You can't. Look at all these people we're talking about, all of them. The people who have made it big in ministry, right? Go back and look at how they started. Look at Kenneth Copeland, who was so poor, he said that poor people called him poor. By the time poor people see you and say, man, you are poor. He said he and his wife, they had nothing in their living room, just a table, set a small table. And then one of those old TVs just there, nothing, nothing. That's how they lived. They lived in the worst part of town. Said it was so poor, they were owing money everywhere. Then he came across Kenneth Hagin's audio messages. He drove one of his car. We had one very jalopy car that was about to break. You know how you see a car moving? Huh? Have you ever seen a car moving and you're praying for the people because he looks at the car, any moment can just go, wah! On the ground, scatter all the parts, tire go here, then everything, the engine would roll. So he said he drove the car to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, you know, and went there, right, and told them that he wants to trade his car to get tapes. He met a guy, a very funny guy called Buddy Harrison. Buddy Harrison was married to, he's dead now, he's going to be with the Lord, he was married to Brother Hagin's eldest child, the daughter, right? So Buddy Harrison, very interesting personality. So when Buddy Harrison saw the car, he wanted the car to leave that place quickly. He felt it wasn't a good picture for. So he said, I'll give you the tapes free of charge. Please get that car out of there. I give you any tape you want, I give you free. Take it. So he had his tapes, went back, and then he went and locked himself in the garage. Told his wife, shouldn't worry, that he needs to sort this matter out. When he's done, he will come. Don't worry about food. I'm okay. Spent some days there just listening to teachings on prosperity and listening until he got a revelation. He came out of that place and told his wife, we will never be broke another day of our lives. From that time, everything shifted, right? Things began to happen, began to sow. He would sow. He would go to our robots meetings. Sometimes he have money to sow. He would take out his pen and sow it. Nothing. He said it got to a point where God now began to show up. Then one time, God led them to buy a plot of land which seemed to be useless. Many years after, only to discover that that land had natural gas. That land... Now, the gas from that land is used to supply 3 towns with electricity from that land. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Bishop Oyedepo, the same thing. People think that Bishop Oyedepo started big like this. He was broke and poor. Didn't have money. He went and got Kenneth Copeland's messages. The man who got Kenneth Hagin's messages, he went and got Kenneth Copeland's messages and did the same thing. After he read what he did, he went and locked himself inside the garage. Told his wife, not shouldn't worry. I listened to the message and it was funny because when he came out, you know how Kenneth Copeland says, I've never been poor another day of my life. So when he came out, he told his wife, my days of poverty. My days of poverty are over forever. Poverty, not... And that's how God began to work. See, there's a pathway. You see, if these people I'm talking about had depended on another system, they would not reach where they are today. That's why when you hear them, there's a doggedness about their speech. Do you understand? They know in whom they have believed. They know, and they are persuaded. You see what I'm saying? So don't let any system hold you down. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Dear man of God, I believe God has spoken. You can consider, or you may consider locking yourself up.
Lock yourself in the garage.
So if you go to androsacoministries.org, you'll find several resources there on prosperity and all that you can listen to and be a blessing. Praise God. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This message was brought to you by Andrew Osakwe Ministries International. For information about the ministry and for more of Dr. Andy's messages, please visit andrewosakweministries.org or contact us at +234 817 744 5013. Connect with Dr. Andy on Facebook, Instagram, Mixlr, YouTube, and TikTok using his handle @DrAndyOsakwe.